Anybody recognize that? All right, everybody got their timers. For those who haven't been with us, we are in the middle of a series of messages called 60 Seconds Every 60 Minutes. And I've been challenging you to spend 60 seconds every 60 minutes with God. Now, I don't know about you, but you know that 60 minutes seems to go by so fast and that 60 seconds goes so slow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, wham, it's 60 seconds, minutes already. And then it's like, oh, man, that 60 seconds takes forever. You know? And so I've been challenging us, you know, we get so busy with our lives and so many things going on and so much. We got this building going now and all this stuff going that we forget just God. We forget about God. And so we've been going over all of this. And so I begin by talking about why. And remember why. And this goes back to our building. God is God and we're not. Okay? If you thought you were God, I got news for you. If your husband thinks he's God, tell him he's not. All right? He ain't. All right? God is God and we're not. So we pray because he's God. He's God and he wants a relationship with us. And that's what's neat. I need him and he wants me. That's exciting. And so I pray because he wants me, and I need him, and he's God, and I'm not. And last week, I talked about how to pray, and I know some of you walking around with that Bluetooth thing in your ear. Anybody have those Bluetooth? How many people have that Bluetooth thing? Anybody have that Bluetooth thing? I don't see very many, but I see a lot of people walking around. You know, it's like they got a ward on their ear, you know, and they walk around, and you know, they're talking. You don't know who they're talking to. Well, we need to do that with God, that we just have this continual conversation, never hang up, never close it out. You know, I don't start all my prayers with, oh, God in heaven. I'll just say, hey, God, da-da-da-da-da. And I don't end them all with, amen. It's just like, God, I'm busy now. I'll be back in a minute. You know, and I do. I carry on that continual conversation. But then there's times when I need to humble myself. We went over that last week. But now this morning, I want to take us another step. Because prayer isn't just us talking. Isn't just us speaking to God. Prayer isn't just us laying out our petitions, which are our needs, or our intercessory prayers, that's praying for others. You know, prayer isn't that. Prayer is also listening to God. Prayer is also for us to have that moment of silence, which isn't bad. Might be uncomfortable, but it's not bad. And that's that listening to God, just kind of tuning into God. But one of the struggles is, how do you know it's God? Now, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but I get some phone calls sometimes, and they're talking to me, they say, hi, Gary, blah, 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 and I don't know who it is. Anybody have that? You're sitting on the phone, and it's, I got to recognize their name. Who's talking right now? Who's asking? I don't know who it is. Well, how do we recognize God's voice? How do you know when God is speaking? I mean, I get frustrated. I don't know about you, but I get frustrated. I'm going to take it a step further. I get aggravated and sometimes even angry. When I hear somebody get up there and say, God told me to go out and shoot this, I'm going to say it, abortion doctor. Or God told me to go out and blow up this clinic over here. That just angers me because that makes God look bad. I mean, is that really God? You know? Or I get upset with the news media. You know, some guy, mental case, you know, starts talking about God and the news is all over him. I mean, it's like, here's this guy and here's what he's saying about God, you know. And that kind of stuff aggravates. How do you know when it's God? That when you hear that impression, that silent voice in your heart or that conviction in your mind that's just there and you know, how do you know that's God? How can you be sure it's God? The scripture says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. It's saying, check it out. So I want you to get your outline out this morning. We're going to kind of look at five things this morning. How to check on that voice, that conviction, that message. How can I make sure that this is from God? Because you need to know something. Sometimes Gary gets good ideas. All right? And I worry about that. Is this Gary's good idea? You know, we tore our building down and all the stuff that went on. I was praying with many of the men in the church and others were praying and it took me, they were ready before I was. They were wondering what was taking me so long. And it's like, I just want to make sure, you know, and I don't know about you, but through the waiting process of why it's taking so long to get the permit and all the stuff going on, it's like every time I went to God, it was like, God, why and what's going on? And if this is your will, why is it taking so long? And, you know, but every time I would pray that, I always had this conviction. I've got it. That's all I knew. I didn't have any explanation. I didn't have any vision. It's just, I got it. Okay. I don't understand. How do you know when those voices that it's from God? That it's just not Gary's good idea or your good idea. Or maybe even, I need to warn you, because as I look at that passage, Satan and false prophets are out there. I believe there are false voices. All right? You need to know something. I've been watching the History Channel. I enjoy the History Channel. They have ghost hunters on History Channel. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe in ghosts, all right? You can believe whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you what else. I do believe in demons, all right? And I mean, I want to be careful when I mess with that kind of stuff. How do you know when you hear a voice that it's not some demon? And I believe that. Some guy that goes up and blows out or shoots somebody or does something in the name of God, I'm going to tell you flat out, that's a demon. All right? I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to play around. They can tell me I'm crazy, whatever, but I'm going to tell you. How do I know that? Well, there's five things. So get your outline out. Let's look at these five things. I'm going to begin. Number one, first out of the box, right off the bat, no questions asked, get your Bible out. All right? If you want to know if a message is from God and you want to check it out, get your Bible. All right? Does it agree with the Bible? Right off the bat, if God's going to say something to you, I'm going to make this real plain. If you hear a voice, I've never heard God's voice, okay? But I have no doubt about convictions and messages from God. But I've never heard his voice. But whatever it is, it's going to be consistent with what this book says. 100%. There's not going to be any question, not going to be any wondering about it. It's going to be, does it agree with the Bible? Let me give you a little comment here. This book, the Bible, has 66 books in it. It's really a combination of 66 books. 40-some-odd authors, 1,500 years. But it still has that one message. You can read from Genesis to Revelation, and the message never changes. It's that one message. And it's consistent. And it's God's normal way of doing things. So when somebody comes to me and says, well, God told me to do this, my first thing in my mind is, how does that fit with the Bible? The way God has normally worked over 1,500 years. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's the same God. So when I have a message from God, I got to turn in the book and say, how does it fit? How does it work with this book? I mean, it's really interesting. I'm not the first one to do this. I want you to look at this passage. It's in the book of Romans. Paul is preaching and Paul is teaching. And listen to what Paul says. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul is sitting there preaching. Paul is sitting there telling him, how do you become a Christian? How do you know God? How can you walk in relationship with God? And he goes, check the scriptures. Isn't that what Abraham did? What I'm telling you is the same thing. 2,000 years later, I'm telling you the same thing. If you got a message from God, check the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? God is a consistent God. God is not doing anything different. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the scriptures, God does things in different ways. All right? But the message is still the same. And so I want to encourage you as you hear from God and as you're praying in these 60 seconds to be quiet, all right? Don't do all the talking in those 60 seconds. Be silent. That's hard. That's uncomfortable. You know, if I was to be quiet right now for 60 seconds, I'm not going to wait because I'm already nervous. Because you guys are looking. I mean, am I right? Don't we get nervous in silence? But we need to get comfortable in silence with God. All right? So you need to be silent some of these 60 seconds. And you need to listen for what God has to say. You need to hear what God has to say. And when you hear that message from God, when that conviction, like I said, I've never heard the voice of God. I've never heard God say, Gary, I haven't heard it. But I'm going to tell you something. I have no doubt in my mind that God has spoken to me and that God has worked in my life and that God has brought me certain places and answered certain things and moved in certain ways. And I just know that. I remember when I was dating, and I'm not big on dating. I only dated a couple of girls, and I was dating these girls, and I don't. Anybody ever date? You ever get hurt? It hurts, and you get hurt, and then the first one broke up with me. The second two I broke up with. But you know something? It hurt me. I was hurting. When I was breaking up with this last girl, it was hurting me. I did it real nice. It was like I made up my mind I was going to break up with her in December, but I didn't want to do it before Christmas. So I knew I bought her a Christmas gift, but between Christmas and New Year's, I dumped her. But I'm going to tell you what I was praying, because I realized I was praying, God, I don't like this dating thing. It hurts. It's hurting me when I break up, but it even hurts me when I'm doing it to them. And I begin to pray, God, the next girl, all right, that I go and that I'm going to date or I'm going to be with, I want to be my wife. I don't want to play this game. I don't want to be involved in this game. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be the one hurting people. I'm tired of this. And I began praying that the next one that God would provide in my life, that he laid in front of me, that he wanted me to be the one, that I would know would be the one I want to marry. That was Laura. It took 4 years before we did, but it was Laura. I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt about being a pastor. The voice of God, I have those convictions. I have that heart. And I know, but I check it out with the Bible. You know what? You can find praying for a mate in the Bible. Did you know that? I'm going to talk about a little bit about this as I talk about what to pray for later on in this message. Not this message, but some of these messages. I'm going to share with you there. But you can be consistent with God's word, because that's what God wants. Look at what it says about the scriptures. All scripture. Now, I want to make sure you notice that. Circle all right? It didn't say some of it. It didn't say the red letter parts of it. It didn't say the New Testament. It doesn't say the Old Testament. It says all scripture. You got it in your hand. 66 books. All scriptures God breathed. That means God gave it to us. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, the Bible can guide you to what God wants to do in your life. So when you have a message from God, you need to check with the scripture. All scripture. Don't just put a passage and say, well, this says I can do that. This says I can do this. You can't pick and choose. That's why it's important. Why do you think, as a pastor, you hear me talk all the time about getting in a small group, being in Bible study, read your Bible every day? Why do you think I say all that all the time? Not for me. It's for you. So that when you hear the voice of God, you know, hey, this is what God wants. I'm ready. Check with God's word. Number one, right off the bat, you get a message from God. You get a conviction from God. You get a voice from God. You get a whatever it is on your heart, and you think it's from God, go to the Bible. First, right off the bat. Don't just assume. Don't just guess. Don't just say, well, Gary said. Read the Bible when you pray. All right? Hey, just a quick idea so you'll know this. When you're praying, you can read the Bible as part of your prayer. Did you know that? So you can be silent, you can read the Bible, you can speak to God. There's all sorts of things. That 60 seconds can go by fast. But spend time with God. Number one, read your Bible. Number two, look at number two with me, would you? Does it make me more like Christ? That when I heard that voice, that last verse kind of set this up. Because if I respond to it, I'm going to be more like Christ. When I have a message from God, when I've heard the voice of God, when I have a conviction from God, is it going to make me more like Jesus? That's the thing I need to look at. If it's not going to make me more like Jesus, it's not from God. It's real simple. Look what the scripture says. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you the wrong way. Christ is what is right. To be like Christ, a person must do what is right. Be like Christ. When you hear from God, is it the right thing to do? Can I ask you this? This is really important. Can the right thing be the wrong thing? What do you guys think? I heard one. Anybody else? Can the right thing be the wrong thing? Can it be the wrong time? Can it be the wrong person? Can it be the wrong occasion? See, and so when we look at it, even if it's the right thing, will it make me more like Jesus? Do you see the difference? See, a lot of people say, I got to do this because it's the right thing to do, and it's going to hurt people, and it's going to destroy things, and it's going to be difficult. But you got to ask the question. And not only is it right, but am I going to be more like Jesus? See, in my prayers, excuse me, in my prayers and in my conversations with God, I need to be checking this out and saying, if I do what this has laid on my heart, if I do what this has convicted me to do, will I be more like Jesus when it's over? Will I look more like Jesus? Will I behave more like Jesus? Will I have an attitude more like Jesus? What will it be like if I do this? And I figured what I needed to do this morning is, well, what does it mean to be like Jesus? I got a passage for you just to make it real clear. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that means if you are a Christian and you want to be like Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do you see the picture He's setting there? If you want to be like me, this is what you need to do. You need to be loving, encouraging, comforting, inspiring. Is that what it does? See, I've seen people say, well, God wants me to say da-da-da-da-da, and it's going to destroy people. And it's like, do you really think God wants you to say that? Is that going to make you more like God? Is that going to make them more like God? Or is this just going to clear your mind? Make you feel better? See, when you have a message from God, that message will make you more like God. Let me give you a hint here. Anybody know the creation story? Anybody familiar with the creation story? In the beginning, God created. You guys are really with me today. God did what? Thank you. In the beginning, God created. And when He came down to creating us, He created us in His image. And we messed it up, called sin. But God wants us to get back to that image again, the image of Jesus Christ. And so when I pray and I want to know if God's telling me to do something, is it going to make me more like I should be in the very beginning, that we messed up with sin? And so when you get a message from God and you hear a voice from God, you got this conviction in your heart or your mind is compelling you, you need to ask yourself, will I be more like God if I do that? Will I be more like Jesus? Am I going to get closer to God through this? Or, again, and I believe this and I've seen it. I think the devil's out there leading people down the wrong thing. We hear a voice and we think it's God. Or we get some good ideas. Like I said, Gary comes up with some really good thoughts sometimes. At least I think they are. Some of you are going, he's crazy. But yeah, sometimes I am too. But is it the voice of God? So check the Bible. Read your Bible. Understand your Bible. See, what's so interesting about this and this being like Christ is, it's not new. There's a guy in the Bible. His name's Gideon. I'll encourage you. You want to read an interesting event in the scriptures? Judges, I think it's 6 through 8. My best guess. I think it's Judges 6 and 8. You can read the story of Gideon. Gideon heard a voice. And Gideon thought it was the voice of God, but wasn't sure if that's really what he needed to do. So Gideon says, okay, God, I have this chunk of wool here, and I'm going to set this wool here, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to make all the ground wet around the wool, but you keep the wool dry, and then I'll know that's you, and that's what you want me to do. So Gideon goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, and guess what? The ground's wet and the wool is dry. Gideon's a double checker, all right? Gideon wants to double check God. So Gideon says, okay, God, I'm still not sure if this is you. So here's this wool again. I'm going to put this wool out here. Now this time, make the wool wet and all the ground dry. Gideon gets up and the wool's wet, all the ground is dry. Check it out. Is it going to make me more like Christ? So here's what you need to do. Here's my words of wisdom. Go to Walmart. Get some wool socks. And you have those, you just have your wool socks. So you can go out and put them out this morning or tonight. And when it rains, they're going to get wet, all right? That's not the way to check. Is it going to make me more like Christ? It doesn't take wool socks or anything else. God's word. And will it make me more like Christ? Does that make sense? If you hear a voice, you feel a conviction, you feel God calling you somewhere, real simple. What does the Bible say? Will I be more like Jesus? Look at the third one. What do others have to say about it? I need to share it with others. This building and Dan with our permit and stuff. I had been talking about it, asking others to pray with me. We'd been sharing with it. And like I said, what was so funny to me is they came to the conclusion long before I did of what God wanted to do. I can still remember. You need to know, I remember vividly in my mind walking up at Hume Lake where the pastor's retreat, walking around praying all week about this. God, what do you want to do? Where we're at? What's going on? And I can remember walking just off this bridge. I can go show you where I was standing when I felt God said, go for it. But I had been talking with others. We've been sharing and we've been praying and we've been trying to figure out what God wanted to do. See, God gives pastors, God gives teachers, Christian leaders, God gives mature Christians who you can share things with and that you need to ask wisdom for. When I first entered the ministry, when I first felt God call me to be a pastor, I sat with my pastor week after week every Thursday morning for at least an hour. I didn't understand. I wasn't sure. I don't know what's going on. And so I'm visiting with him and asking him. And he's sharing with me and he's talking with me. And we're spending those times together as I wrestle with what was God doing in my life and how was I going to follow this and accomplish this. And as I was doing that, he told me this. It was real interesting. I've talked to others about it. He says, you want a pastor in California? And I go, I don't know anything different. I don't plan on leaving California. He goes, go to California schools. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know California Baptist College was in California. Can you believe that? Yeah. I didn't know Golden Gate Seminary was over by the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah. I didn't know that. But he said, you want a pastor in California? Stay in California and learn here. And so that's what I did. And I'm glad I did. I've enjoyed my experiences at Cal Baptist and Golden Gate. And God, I shared with others. We need to share with others. If I feel God's voice, I hear God's voice, I need to talk to others. I got these guys I sat with every Wednesday. I got another pastor I met with this week, pastors another church in the area. We get together once a month, the second Wednesday of every month. We sit down and have breakfast together and we just visit and talk about what we're doing and what we feel God is doing and just bounce things off of. You know, I had a pastor one time, we were talking and the TV has this poker. You ever watch that? I mean, I don't know. How do they call that a game? I mean, how do they call that sports? It's on Sports Channel. Yeah. They have these poker tournaments. And this guy was telling me, another one of these pastors were telling me one time, I'm going to have a poker night at church. You know, $25 buy-in, but we give all your money. And it's like, I just, him and I were talking. It's like, I just think you're getting awful close to the line. You know, we're trying to reach people, want to make a difference in people's life, and you know, it sounds like a good idea. But as we talked about it, guess what? He didn't do it, fortunately, because I'm just going, I don't know. But we had to have somebody to talk to, because we get some great ideas. You got great ideas sometimes. Check it with the Bible. See if it makes you more like God, and then talk to others about it. What do others have to say? What is their words? Look at what the scripture says. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Talk to some others. When you feel God wants you to do something, when you have this conviction, when you have this, you know, this compelling to go this way, talk to somebody else. find some mature Christians. Now, make sure I want to make sure you understand mature Christians. I've never forgot the counsel I had when I was getting ready to go off to California Baptist College. And the counsel was real simple. You know, take some other courses just in case this preaching thing doesn't work out. Yeah. That's what I mean, for me, first of all, is that a mature Christian telling me that? That was my first thing. That was my first mistake, you know. Second of all, it's going to work because I don't know what else to do. I mean, I had no secondary plan. I had no, if this fails, if this doesn't work, I don't know. This is what God called me. I'm going to go down there. Where I was sharing with somebody the other day. Laura and I packed everything we had in a truck and a trailer, drove to California Baptist University. It's a university now. It was a college then. I had never been in Riverside, never set foot on this college campus, never knew anything about anybody down there, had no job and $1,000 in the bank. That's it. Let's go. And we went. I can tell stories of how God provided for us and all that God did, and someday I will. But, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I don't get it, but God says go, so guess what? Gary's dumb enough to go. Yeah. Whatever. Check it with others, but make sure they're mature Christians, all right? Pastors, Bible study leaders, Christians who have some experience, because people have different experiences than me and different knowledge than me. We're sitting down there signing all these papers, and this guy's asking all sorts of questions. I wasn't prepared to answer. Do you have this insurance? I don't have any insurance. Dan says, yeah, my company does. Dan's sitting there signing all these papers. Dan, you need to know. You know what I signed? I don't think I signed anything. Francis even signed the check. So I don't know what they're doing. When it comes to this building, I have no idea. I'm counting on others, and many of you are going to be out there working. Get those hands ready. Get them roughed up. You're going to get some blisters. We're going to have fun. But seek the counsel of others. I got news for you. You're not as smart as you think you are. All right? None of us are. None of us are. We can always learn from others. And it doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are. We can always learn from others. Just check it out. Look at what the scripture says again. Listen to the advice and accept instruction. And in the end, you will be wise. See, if I'm going to listen to God and hear God's voice, I need to talk to others about it. I want to make a wise decision. Is God going to make dumb decisions? Now, can Gary make dumb decisions? Don't answer that, all right? I don't want to hear the answer. But God makes wise decisions. And there's numbers can help. Mature believers, mature walkers with Christ can help us make wise decisions. So check it with the Bible. Will it make me more like God? What do others say? Number four, what does it say? Is it convicting rather than condemning? This one's really important to me, for me personally. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. All right? See, conviction draws me back to God or drives me back to God. Conviction is trying to change me, trying to transform my life. There's something better out there, and I'm convicted to be like that. Condemnation, on the other hand, seeks to make me worthless, seeks to devalue me, seeks to put me down and hold me down. And that's condemnation. What does God want to do? God wants to convict us because he wants to transform us. Look at what the scripture says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He sent Jesus into the world not to condemn us. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. You and I are already condemned. Nobody needs to tell Gary that Gary's a sinner, all right? You can point them out for me. And some of you know them really well. You've been with me for a while. Nobody needs to, I know I'm a sinner. Nobody needs to condemn me. I know that. What I need is the conviction to change that. Do you see the difference? And that's what God wants to do. If my prayers are condemning me that you're worthless, you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to do anything in your life, you're just wasting the air and the oxygen. Matter of fact, you're burning up the carbon in this world. Let's get rid of you. Yeah. We'll get rid of your carbon. What is your carbon? Whatever they call that stuff now. They're going to waste, you know. If that's what you're feeling, that's not from God. But if you've got a conviction on your heart that God wants to do something with you and that you can be better and that you can accomplish something with your life, I'm going to tell you, God speaks through our prayers with that. One of my frustrations in life is too many people have no self-worth. Now, maybe I have too much self-esteem and ego and all of that. You know, I might have too much. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not worthless. Some of you might think I am. My kids might think I am. Yeah. But I have value. I have worth. I was so worthful. Is that a word? I had so much value that God sent His Son to die for me and you. And this is my understanding of God, that we have so much value. If it was just you or I, He would have died for just you or I. I really believe that. John 3:16, I'll tell you this. Put your name in there. For God so loved Gary. For God so loved, put it in there. See, God wants to convict us, to change us, to transform us. Goes back to what we said earlier, to make us more like Jesus, to get us back to how He created us, to be who He created us to be. And so when we pray and we're talking to God and we get this message from God, if that message is saying, you can't do anything, you don't amount to much, there's no place for you, it's not from God, all right? It's not a message from God. Too many people have this poor self-esteem. And they feel bad about who they are. And, well, I can't do much. And, oh, you know, and they mope and they whine. And that's disgusting to me. Now, like I say, I might have too much ego. But I know one thing. I have value because of who Jesus is, not because who I am. This is something that I think about. And I am so glad that God is a God of grace. And it's not what I deserve. I just look at my life and how blessed I am. Are there things, are there needs in my life? Are there struggles in my life? Are there troubles in my life? Yeah. We all have that. But when it boils down to it, when it gets right down to the nitty gritty, you know what? I am so blessed. I am so blessed. Yeah. And it's not because I deserve it. Because I don't. I mess up. I could see God up there saying, now there he goes again. What am I going to do with that kid? I could see God doing that. And it's not that I deserve it, but it's the grace of God. And that's what this implies to me. If it's convicting of me and it's driving me back to God and to his presence, then it's from God. But if it's condemning me, then it's not from God. You know? If you're praying and you get this impression that you have no value, and that you're worthless, let me tell you what you do. It's real simple. Jesus used these, or I'm going to give you Jesus' word. Get behind me, Satan. All right? Dan told me that this week. We're sitting there at that table, and that lady said some things, and I did. I didn't say a word. It was so funny. I didn't say a word. Dan said he felt Satan behind him. Because I told Dan, I've lost it. That's it. I've had it. I'm done. You know, I'm going to go call these people that I know, and I mean, I was done. You know? And it's just like, ugh. You know? We need to watch that, because that's not God. But he can sneak in real quick, can't he? Don't let the world condemn you. Don't let that happen. I think it's a tragic thing I see in our society. We turn the TV on, and if you don't have this body type, you know, if you don't look like this and do your hair like this and drive this kind of car or own this kind of home or behave in this kind of manner, you just don't amount to much. I'm sorry. I know I always have fun. We're down in L.A. with Tom and Jackie and walking through the museum, and I picked a couple of cars that I thought preachers should have. You know, they only cost about $300,000, but I thought that'd be a nice preacher's car. You know, I mean, don't I deserve that? I mean, you know, driving around town. I mean, everybody would know, there goes Pastor, man, look at him. And they go, man, that church got money. Let's not go there. That's all they want. When you hear a message from God, let it convict you, okay? Let it convict you. We need that. I need to be willing to change. I need to have that conviction. I can get comfortable. Anybody else in that boat? I can get comfortable with who I am and what I do. I need conviction sometime. And so when my prayers convict me, I need to change. But if it's condemning me, tell Satan to get out of there. Just tell Satan to leave you alone because of who Jesus is. All right, look at the next scripture. It's really plain here. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. See, the Holy Spirit will use those messages to bring that conviction in your life. All right? In the midst of your prayers, the Holy Spirit that God has placed in your heart will bring that conviction on you. If it's condemnation, it's not of God. If you feel you're worthless, I got news for you. Jesus died for you. You have great value. You have so much value, the one and only Son of God died on a cross for you. That's how much value you have. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care where you've been in your life. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care who's beat you up, who's molested you, who's destroyed you, who's ever taken advantage of you, whoever misused you, mistreated you. I don't care anything about that. You have so much value that Jesus died for you. We have great value. Don't be condemned by the world or the devil. All right? Because what does the devil want to do? Preach a sermon series a long time ago. You guys remember? The devil wants to steal. Oh, man, you guys are good. That's biblical, too. You can read it in the Bible. All right? So, make sure you get this. We got four things already. If you have a message from God, you hear a voice, you got a conviction, you're compelled to do something, what does the Bible say? Will it be more like God? What do others have to say about it? And then what is? Is it convicting or condemning? Look at the last one. Do I have a sense of peace about it? Do you have a sense of peace? I'm not saying you don't have trouble. I want to make sure you notice this. I'm not talking about the absence of trouble, that you have no struggles. All right? I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking in spite of all of that, is there peace? Yes, I skipped a verse. We're just going to keep going. Time running out. Is there peace? In spite of all of that. You know, I never forgot. I was in college, junior college up here at Consumnes River, and the teacher asked a great question. He says, in our world, is this world a world of peace that is interrupted by war? Or do we live in a world that is always at war, that infrequently has times of peace? That's the world I think we live in, all right? Because that's life. I don't care how old you are. You could be one of the younger ones sitting up here in the front or one of the older ones sitting in the back. Anywhere in between, you know what we do? We have the young ones up here and the older ones in the back. You know, anywhere in between. I don't care where you're at. If I ask these kids up here, and they're not really kids, if they've had troubles in their life, what do you think they're going to tell me? 9, 10, 12, 14, 17, 16 years old. You guys ever have trouble? They're going to go, yeah. And they're only kids, young adults. Yeah. You go back to the back row, and you ask those back in the back row, I'm not going to go how many years there. I'm going to save myself, you know. And you ask them, have they ever seen trouble in the world? What are they going to say? Yeah. I don't care what age you are. I don't care where you've been in your life. Life has troubles. There's struggles. There's difficulties. But in the midst of all of that, can you have peace? Yes. Yes. And so when I have an answer from God, and if it's disturbing my heart and it's dragging me down and destroying peace, then it's not from God. Like I said, I look back over my college days, and Laura and I had a great time down there. That's my mind. You know, Because we go back there. I didn't spend a lot of time with Laura. I worked, she worked, we went to school, she went to school. I mean, you know, we got to see each other for maybe an hour in the morning, and she'd pick me up at work, talk to us on the way home. She'd go to bed. I'd sit there and do homework. That was it. Good old days, right? Yeah. Going out on the town, cutting a penny coupon out of the newspaper for pizza. So you buy one little pizza, get the next one for a penny, go get a 99-cent root beer at the store, and go to the $3 carload movie theater at the drive-in. That was a treat. Yeah, that's the way I felt too. Yeah. That was the treat. But you know what? We had peace about it because we were doing what we felt God wanted us to do. There was never a question about we shouldn't be down there. What are we doing down here? Why are we doing this? That never came up. We never discussed that. We never had second thoughts about that. It's like, this is what we got to do. See, that's a peace that comes. In spite of the struggles, in spite of the troubles, when God speaks, it's like, I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be a struggle. And I know it's going to be difficult. But you know what? I'm not going to go through this alone. God's with me, and we can make it. Is there a peace? Look at what the scriptures say. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. You get the picture? And say that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, when you pray and you feel God answering your prayers, is there peace? This building project for me and praying over this permit and dealing with this permit, no matter what was going on, my prayer was peace. I always had peace about it. My struggle wasn't about the building and where we're going to build it and all of that. My struggle with was making sure you guys had peace. I talked to Dan about this. My struggle was not me having peace because I knew God had this. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But I knew God had this. It wasn't as fast as I wanted. It wasn't when I wanted. It wasn't how I wanted. But I knew God, I had a peace about it. Every time I prayed about it, it was like, I had a peace. My concern was making sure you guys had peace. See, that was my struggle. I never had, you know, that was me. I have no problem with this building. Whatever's going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, I don't know. Yeah. That's Dan's headache, all right? Yeah. But God's got it. Maybe that's why I got peace, because it's his problem, not mine. But ultimately, you need to know something. Dan and I talk about this. You know ultimately whose problem it is? It's God's, because it's God's church. I mean, we're just going to follow what God says. So whatever he says, God, this is in your hands. And I'm excited about it. But there's peace. There's peace. When you pray and you feel God wants you to do something, you have this conviction, you have this compelling thing, do you have peace about it? And if you don't, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have peace about it, you pray about it till you do. And if you don't, then it's not from God. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean there's not going to be struggles. Doesn't mean there's not going to be any difficulties. I like that verse because it says hope. Hope. Because that's what peace comes from. The peace comes from the hope, not the easiness. Not how simple, not as no struggles. It's hope. Look at the last. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. It's peace. The peace of God. So I want to just challenge you this morning. We're doing 60-60. Are you doing it? I'm seriously. Are you doing it? I got my timer with me. I turned it off before I came in the pulpit this morning. I got 52 minutes and 26 seconds till it goes off when I turn it back on. And are you doing it? And it's not about me, and it's not about anything else. I got some more timers there. If you don't have one, see Lance, see Ken, see Ernie, see Dan, see one of the ushers in the back. They have timers. I still got about 6 of them left. We gave out about 74 of them so far. We went to buy more. I wanted to buy some more. And they didn't have any more. They went to like 3 or 4 different stores, I was told. So I got to go find some more. So there's some more timers back there. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. That's it. And when God speaks to you, will you check it with the Bible? Will you see if it's going to make you more like him? Will you check it with others? Will you make it convicting and not condemning? And will it bring peace to your life? There's 5 checks. Gideon laid the fleece out. That's called wool. If you want to know what fleece was, that was wool. Just in case you didn't know when you read it, it was wool. You don't need wool socks, all right? All you need to do is pray. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Will you do it? And then when God speaks, will you answer? Will you check it out and will you answer? Will you follow Him? That's what I challenge you. Let's pray.